or the teacher of Buddhism is how to live on each moment. Moment after moment, we have to obtain the absolute freedom. And moment after moment, we exist in interdependence to past and future, and other existence. So in short, to practice, if you practice Zazen, concentrating yourself on your breathing moment after moment, and that is how to keep precepts, how to have the actual understanding of Buddhist teaching, and how to help others, and how to help yourself, how to attain liberation. Why we call true Zen the capital city of religion is we have actually gist of teaching and secret of practice. To understand various religion and various way of practice through and through. As I said this morning, we do not aim for or emphasize some particular state of mind or some particular teaching, even though it is perfect and profound teaching. We do not emphasize the teaching only. We rather emphasize how we understand it, how we bring the truth into practice. And this practice also does not mean some particular practice. When we say Zen, Zen include all the activity of our life. Mm. This morning, Reverend Katagiri explained our monastic rules and Dogen Zenji said our practice, we are like water and milk. When we eat one of us, practice are concentrated on this practice of Zen, we are not anymore each separated being. Oneness of the all the students or monks is there. When you live in each moment, each one of you are independent being. And at the same time, each one of you obtaining the absolute independence, you attain the same Buddhahood. That Buddha attained, that various patriarchs attained. So, having living in each one's absolute freedom, we attain same attainment. So, we are each one of us is independent in the same realm. When this realm is understood, there are students, there are teachers, there are someone who serve tea, there are someone who drink tea, and they are independent being, and we are practicing the practice which was started by Buddha, Buddha Sangha. In this way, Buddhism was carried out by Buddhists. So, although Buddha was born 2,500 years ago, but Buddha is right here when we practice his practice. Buddha lives in our age with us. But Buddha is Buddha, and we are a student. So you may say there is student and teacher, but we are all the same, we are all practicing the same practice, exactly the same way as he did, as they did at their time. Actually, we are practicing same practice with them. If so, whatever we do, that is Buddha's practice. And this is how we kept practice precepts. In Buddha's day, there were their way of life. In China, there was Chinese way of life. In Japan, there is Japanese way of life. But when we live in that day, in that age, in this way, although the way of living is different, but actually what we do does not different from what Buddha did. Because we express absolute freedom. There is no two absolute freedom. So, when in China, when they are too much interested in Buddhist philosophy, they ignored how to live in Buddha's way. In other words, they ignored how to keep precepts. To keep precepts is not to keep Indian way of life. When you eat here, you should eat here. You cannot eat in India all the time. Strictly speaking, if you want to keep precepts literally, you have to go to India. Then you can keep the keep precepts completely. Esai Zenji refer to a very interesting story in his work. There was some Chinese, some monk from India. When he came to India, China, he could not observe Indian precepts because the custom is different. So he returned to India because he was very much afraid of breaking Indian precepts. So if you do not know how to observe precepts, or if you emphasize just written precepts without knowing how to keep it, then Buddhism will die immediately. But if you know how to keep our precepts, Buddhism will continue and will develop as Zen developed in China. Various Mahayana schools was lost in China, except Zen. Because, you know, they were too much interested in the philosophy of Buddhism, without knowing how to actualize the teaching. So eventually they ignored precepts. But they may say they did not ignore. Then students ignored it, they may say. Because then students did not observe it literally. But Mahayana schools observed it as Indian Buddhists did. And they thought, this is Buddha's way. So Buddha's way eventually separated from their everyday life. But then student understood precepts as their way of life. And so they do not mind the formal way of life, formality. And they were so sure that their way of practice was how to actualize Buddha's teaching. And how to actualize Buddha's teaching is, in short, to live on each moment. And that is the conclusion of Mahayana philosophy. How to live in this moment. How to attain enlightenment. How to be Buddha is how to attain perfect freedom. How to attain perfect freedom is how to live in this moment. So, in China, they established, Zen Buddhists established new precepts, which is called pure rules, new precepts for themselves. For other Buddhists, precepts is some rules Buddha observed. But for them, precepts is their own way of life, how to live on this, in this moment, in that place. When we are not so sincere about our practice or about our way of life, about ourselves, you may say, there's teaching. I am priest, you know. But there are labor. I am priest. And Buddhist teaching is written in the book, in some particular book. So, if you understand Buddhism in this way, they can ignore the precepts. Precept is written in the book. And precept is for some particular person. But if you realize the religion is for everyone and should be our way of life, you know, the some certain precepts which is written in some particular book, cannot be actualized, cannot be bring into practice, everyday practice. So when we become sincere about our everyday life and the meaning of religion, we cannot live in old precepts, which was set up for some other person. We should have our own precepts. So in this way, Hyakujo Zenji established Mahayana precepts for the first time. In 8th century, Mahayana Buddhism introduced in China in maybe 4 centuries. For many years, they observed Indian precepts. It is impossible, you know. They say they observed it, but no one can believe. No one can trust them. It is impossible for Chinese people to observe Indian precepts. It is ridiculous. If they think they observe it, they are very selfish people. They observe it just for himself, for a priest only, ignoring how, what kind of life usual, ordinary people had. Excuse me, if your car is in front of the door, will you move it? So, Zen Buddhist was very serious about their way of life, and people's way of life. So they established, they renewed precepts, Indian precepts. So in India, you know, they practice Zazen to attain, maybe they could practice Zazen all day long if it was possible, as a group even, because the monks were supported entirely by people. After they finish their household life, they became monks. And their boys and girls supported them. So for them it was possible. But for Chinese monks who must support themselves by themselves, cannot sit all day long, and whatever they do, it should be Zen. So they developed the practice more to everyday life. So Chinese Zen was more practical. They knew how to apply Zen in everyday life. And how to apply in everyday life is not difficult, because if we live on each moment, that is Zen. Whether you are sitting or working, when you live on each moment as you practice them. And that is how to practice them. So then is in our everyday life. So you may say Indian way was rather lazy way, not active enough. So eventually, naturally, Indian Zen emphasized some state of, some mysterious state of mind. But in China, they emphasized more the attitude or way to have direct experience of various experience. In this way, the Buddhist philosophy actualized in Zen practice, and oneness of the practice, the Zen practice, and everyday activity was brought to our society. So then is the source of the philosophy and source of art and source of various religious life. In Genjo Koan, at in first paragraph, he Dogen Zenji gives us the whole pattern of Buddhist way. When all things are Buddhist phenomena, when all things are Buddhist teaching, you may say, we have enlightenment and ignorance. Something to study, or something to observe, precepts, or sutras, or problem of a philosophical discussion of life and death, or enlightened one, or the ignorance. When all things are without self, We have no ignorance, no enlightenment, no Buddha, no people, no life, and no death. When all things are without self, when all things, all what we do is done in the realm of selflessness, like milk and water. There's no water or no milk. When the whole textile is woven completely in various colorful threads, what you see is not piece of thread. What you see is one whole textile. You understand? So there's no need to say this is what. When you drink a milk, do you say this is water? This is milk. You drink just milk, and there's no water. No milk. So he says, when all things are without self, we have no ignorance, no enlightenment, no Buddha, no people, no life and death. Buddhist way is beyond being and non-being. Buddhist way, we know each colorful thread, and we know also the one whole woven textile. We know both sides, both ways. We observe things in two ways, and without any contradiction. But when we are not sincere enough, you may say, this is Buddhism. And this is other religion. We are a monk, and they are layman. That's all. So, they don't understand the whole beautiful textile. But Buddhist way is beyond being a thread or a textile. Beyond thread or textile. Therefore, we have life and death, ignorance and enlightenment. Still we see that various color in the woven textile. And we appreciate the color of the textile. So, he says, we have life and death, ignorance and enlightenment, people and Buddha, and so many interesting colors on the piece of, one whole piece of cloth. However, flowers fall with our attachment, and weeds grow with our detachment. However, even though we are Buddhists, we live with people, seeing the flower fading away day by day, with our attachment. the thing that weeds, pulling out the weeds day after day, with our detachment. That we move ourselves, he explains more about it. Here, in the second paragraph, there are various ideas and various practices. Not only Zen, but also pure and school, well, pure and school, and various way of religion. But those are, for him, one beautiful textile. So it is. So that is why his teaching is called the source of all religion. Not source, but not source, but you know, each religion makes sense. You know. Thread does not a piece of thread is not useful when you make beautiful cloth with it. It becomes useful. It becomes perfect religion. So each schools of Buddhism and various religions find its own meaning in big religious, human religious life. It makes sense. It means to weave a beautiful cross with thread. Each religion is just a piece of thread. Maybe it's colorful. Maybe it is beautiful. But if you weave something with it, you can use it as your beautiful dress. In this sense, his teaching is called not source, but sometimes we say capital city, not cap, because various roads come to the center. Anyway, in this sense, our way has two faces. One is as the secret of the religion, how to find the meaning, true meaning of religion. And on the other hand, we remain as one of the school of Buddhism, or one of the various, one of the many ways of practice. So we have two faiths. We are actually, I belong to Soto school. I am just a piece of thread. But we know how to, how to make ourselves a piece of useful material. And this is sort of way. Without knowing how to make ourselves useful, to observe some lofty way of practice does not make much sense. So in the second paragraph, he says that we move ourselves and understand all things is ignorance. He gives the definition of various thread. This is red thread, this is pink, this is blue, like this. What we move ourselves and understand all things is ignorance. Then what is enlightenment? Enlightenment is that things advance and understand themselves. That is enlightenment. It is Buddhas who understand ignorance. Who is Buddha? Buddha is someone who understands ignorance. Who is people? People are ignorant of enlightenment. So he says, it is people who are ignorant of enlightenment. Further, there are those who are enlightened above enlightenment, like Soto or school, and those who are ignorant of ignorance, like Pivarant school. When Buddhas are truly Buddhas, they are not necessarily aware of themselves as Buddhas, but they are enlightened ones and advance in enlightenment. We are not necessarily be just sort of priest. You know, we are one of the Buddhists. But we cannot practice all the ways of practice. Although we practice just sort of way, but we are nevertheless we are Buddhist. That's all. So here you will find out how important it is to live in each moment. This our way to live on each moment makes everything possible. Makes precept observation possible. Makes attaining enlightenment possible. Makes to attain absolute freedom from various sectarianism possible. And first of all, this practice makes us possible to attain perfect, complete satisfaction in our life. Thank you very much.